May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So recently I saw a new, more modern version of this nativity story. It was a short film. It had no dialogue. In it, Joseph and Mary are hitchhiking, making their way along an interstate thruway, hoping someone will give them a ride. And Mary's labor pangs are starting. She's bending over in pain. Finally, a tractor trailer stops, and the driver helps them get into the cab of the truck. And the driver sees that Mary's labor is progressing, and you can tell by the look on his face that he really doesn't want her to give birth in his truck. So he pulls over at a truck stop. Mary and Joseph go into a bathroom, which is not very clean. And while they're in there, the camera focuses on the two truck drivers, one of whom is eating an extremely greasy hamburger, and the other of whom is being propositioned by a prostitute. Finally, the baby arrives, and the two truckers and the prostitute go to greet the newborn. And their faces, which were so cynical and unhappy just moments before, now shine, totally alight with joy as they greet this tiny Savior, this baby who brings hope and new possibility into their lives and into the world. And the movie ends with the woman giving her coat to wrap the newborn baby in. Seemed to me this film was saying the same thing that the prophet Isaiah said thousands of years ago. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. There is a light shining in the darkness. That is what we are here tonight to affirm and connect with. We are people who have walked in darkness and have seen a great light. When Isaiah wrote this passage thousands of years ago, he wasn't talking about the beautiful darkness of a starry Christmas Eve. He was talking about the darkness of the immense history of human suffering. He was talking about the history of his people, whose homes had been destroyed, who had been sold into slavery, who had become refugees in a faraway country. And we can look around and see much darkness in our world today. It's been just about a year since those terrible shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. And we haven't figured out a solution to keep that from happening again. Our food pantry here at Redeemer has had many more customers in the past month or two because of the cuts to the food stamp programs. More families are going hungry and feeling helpless. The land where Jesus was born is still beset with violence and danger, and from Syria to the Sudan, there are still those bloody garments that Isaiah writes about. But the message of Christmas is that even a small, ordinary thing, the birth of a baby, can change everything. Jesus' birth is a sign that God is with us, that God is willing and able to enter into all the dark places of the world. But God doesn't come as an invading army or a conquering king. God comes as a vulnerable baby. It'd be so much more clear, wouldn't it, if Jesus came into our world fully grown, maybe even riding on a white horse, just to make it really clear that he's going to fix everything, perhaps without us having to do very much. But that's not the way it happened. It's not what the story tells us. In real life, it was much more like that baby being born at a truck stop. So Jesus comes to us not in a powerful bid to take control of the world, but in need and in love and in vulnerability. And somehow, that touches the lives of the characters in that film, and I think our lives too, in a way that really nothing else could. Somehow this little baby brings light and joy into their lives when so many other things fail to do so. Perhaps it's because it's a sign of God's presence right there with them, in the trenches, in the minutiae of daily life. Maybe it's also because God is reaching out to them, but not trying to overpower them or control them, just trying to be with them in as tangible a way as possible. And perhaps most of all, because God trusts them and trusts us with this baby's extraordinary vulnerability. And through that vulnerability calls us into helping and nurturing and serving, giving us a new way to live and share and spread God's light to the world. So where is that infant savior in your life? Where is there someone who is vulnerable and in need, who might make your face glow with joy, who might hold the key to your salvation? I'll tell you what makes my face glow with joy. Earlier this week, I got to visit some of the homebound elders of our parish. These are amazing ladies. They ran this place a couple decades ago, and some of them are very expert knitters. This week I visited one who loaded me up with hats and mittens to put on this giving tree so we can take these to the babies of the Grow Clinic, babies who have failure to thrive syndrome because their families literally don't have enough to feed them. Our homebound members can seem like some of the more vulnerable folks in our community, and from some perspectives they are. But even from that place, they still pour out self-giving love for others. And yesterday, when I was trying to write this sermon, there were three families downstairs in our church kitchen. People who really had a lot to do this week, getting ready for in-laws and cooking Christmas dinner, but instead they were cooking a meal that they wouldn't eat themselves. It was for the Bristol Lodge Soup Kitchen. And last night they took it over there to serve to our neighbors in need. And just a few hours ago, we had our children's Christmas pageant here. It was beautiful and chaotic and fun. It reminded me of a parish, a pageant a few years ago in another parish where I served. At that parish, it tended to be, well, okay, a little political. Who got to be Mary and Joseph in the play? The kids really competed for those roles. And this particular year, there was a new family. Actually, only the kids actually came to church. Their mom dropped them off, probably because she needed a break. She needed a break. She was newly divorced and working two jobs to help keep things together for her kids. And the kids, it wasn't an easy time for them. They had trouble adjusting, especially this one boy who was about in the fifth grade. And I have to tell you that my face shone that evening when Polly, who was our pageant director, she didn't miss a beat. She said, "You are Joseph." And that boy was so pleased to be told he was special and told that he did a good job in the midst of a hard time in his life. And his face was shining that evening. So all of these stories have something in common. And I think that is that when we turn our faces to the ones in our midst who are the most like the baby Jesus, the most vulnerable and in need. Then the light dawns, and everyday miracles start to happen. We live in a land that sometimes seems like it's very dark, and yet the light does shine. The message of Christmas is that God's light is dawning on all of these and so many other situations. A God who is incarnate and with us. A God who comes to us in an outpouring of self-giving love. Jesus comes to us in this strange and vulnerable way because God knows that that is the way to transform us, to transform our lives and make us into people of light. This baby has the potential to transform your life. The question we are asked each and every Christmas is, are we going to let him? The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Amen.